You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's today's message from Dr. Daryl Orman.
I'm Pastor Daryl Orman, the pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart for the last 30 years, and just want to speak to you today for a few minutes and thank all of you for your faithful listening. It's been exciting to encounter people in the public as they have been responding to our broadcast. We've been broadcasting now on this station for 20 years, and I'd like to read a passage with you and discuss a couple of things with you. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 54, beginning in verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwelling, spare not, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your pegs. And then verse 5, for your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. I'd just like to thank you again for your listening. And for the last 20 years, we've not really been aggressive in fundraising with our radio broadcast. We have been underwriting it with the budget of our church. And today, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about responding where we can hear from you. I've had some wonderful encounters in the neighborhood, in the area, in the city, in the county, as I've encountered different ones who have shared with me. Some have been listening 10 years, 15 years. A couple of the encounters recently that I'd like to share with you. I was eating with my wife and a pastor couple. We met them at Olive Gardens in Jensen Beach a couple of weeks ago. And we were sitting there waiting for the other pastor to show up from his church on a Sunday afternoon right after church. And he showed up, sat down, and the waitress walked up, took our drink orders. And then she said, I just told some of the servers and some of the other workers, waitresses here, that you sound an awful lot like a pastor that I listened to on the radio, Pastor Daryl Orman. And my wife said, well, this is Daryl Orman. This is Pastor Orman. And she said, oh my gosh, I didn't picture you looking the way you do. I pictured you in a brown suit with like a balding top and maybe a ring of hair around the side of your head. And I said, well, I hope I've pleasantly passed your expectation. And she said, you have had on a navy suit, and I do have a full head of hair. But she then went on and proceeded to say, I've been listening for years to your broadcast, and I work here and I have to work on Sundays. And so I asked Olive Garden if I could come in a little later so that I can listen to the message, the sermon, hear the word of God on my commute in. So every Sunday I'm able to do that. And it's just been a blessing. I've been mentioning to the other workers and inviting them to listen. And it was just such a blessing to meet this dear sister and to encounter her and how she's been blessed by the preaching of the word. And she did go on to say, you know, you preach the truth and it's scriptural. You're always in the word of God. And she really appreciated that. And then one of our staff members, we were in staff, our minister of seniors, Nick, was talking about his encounter. He shared Christ with a waitress at Cracker Barrel in Port St. Lucie. And I know it seems like a theme here of a lot of eating. Sometimes we could be referred to as Buzzard Baptists. But anyway, that's another note. So so Nick said, I was begin to witness to her, and she said, oh, I'm a believer. And Nick said, well, I'm on staff at First Baptist Church of Stewart. And she said, oh, I listened to Pastor Daryl Orman there and hear him preach the Word of God. And her testimony was similar to the waitress at Olive Garden, both of those just within a week, these two different encounters. And so our listening, well, through the years, we've had some commute down from Vero Beach, commute up from as far down as Broward County, that have occasionally heard the broadcast and say, you know, I want to go up there and experience the church personally and First Baptist of Stewart and meet the pastor. So we've had some come through the years and come and do that. And I'd just like to put this out there and ask to if we can hear from you, specifically if you'd be willing to make a contribution to us, if you would be willing to say, yes, I've been blessed by the preaching of God's word, and I would like to invest in that and assist First Baptist with that. Our address is 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, 34994, Stewart, Florida. And would like to invite you, ask you if you could, to send, you know, whatever the Lord lays on your heart and to help us with this. And beyond that, I would like to talk to you a little bit. I read the passage about expanding your tent and stretching yourselves. And I'd like to share something exciting the Lord's been doing with our fellowship, with our church, and in my life personally as well. When I first came here, my first Sunday was the first Sunday of August 1992, so 30 years ago this summer. And when I first came to the area, I had never really been in Stewart. I came up to visit the church because I was beginning to be contacted by them. And I was down in Broward County for 7.5 years at a church, a sweet church there. We started Christian school there. And so they began to contact me, and so we came up. And when we first came to the area, we asked, where is First Baptist Church of Stewart? That was years before Garmin or cell phones with directions or anything like that. And so we came to the area, and we were going to visit one of the services, a Wednesday night service, just to see the church before we begin to kind of negotiate and communicate with them on a calling. And so we came up, and when we asked for directions in town, everyone directed us to a church that's there on Colorado. It's the only church on the 76 corridor. And so we were repeatedly directed to that particular church. And so with that, when I began to talk to the pulpit committee and the elders, the deacons, the leadership, the staff here at First Baptist, I shared with them that, you know, this was our experience, that even though we are in a good place on Ocean Boulevard, you can see our steeple from the new Roosevelt Bridge, that still it's not the greatest location. And with that, the Lord began to speak to my heart 30 years ago about First Baptist Church of Stewart being out on the 76 corridor. And so I took men, and we looked at land years ago, different land that's now most of it under development with different communities. And there was one particular farm there, is a 40-acre farm that was owned by a previous member of First Baptist Church of Stewart years ago. And the First United Methodist Church here in town began to negotiate for that farm and actually purchased it 20 years ago. And so at that point, I had kind of died to the vision of relocating the church, and I had just backed off of it, and we had just kind of gone into our maintenance mode here and our ministry mode here at our current location. So about 2.5 years ago, I began to be approached about selling our property, selling our church facility. And at first, I just dismissed it. I said, no, there's no interest in that. And is one day I woke up and one of our businessmen had sold a commercial property down in Broward County. And I approached him and I said, since you just sold a property, would you approach the Methodist Church and ask them about their property? And he said, oh, I'd be glad to. So he did, as a businessman, just approaching them. And when he did, they shared with him that it was under contract. And I go, oh, well, that's the end of that. And he did, he said the same thing. So then shortly thereafter, the Lord began to just press it on my heart. I just couldn't shake it. And so I talked to a broker in our church, real estate broker, and she approached the Methodist Church, and it was just a week or two after our businessman. And when she did, they said, yeah, we were under contract and we just broke it off. The usage that he promised to use it for changed, and we weren't happy with it. And so at that point, they said, it's available again. And so I prayed about it and talked to our leadership and made an offer, and they graciously accepted it. And so last year, we began to negotiate and then come to this and executed a contract with them last summer to purchase the property and to relocate our church and our school. We've got a tremendous school. It's one of the oldest private schools in the Treasure Coast, and a very conservative. We stand for biblical values and principles, biblical morals, and more importantly, for a dynamic personal relationship with Jesus Christ. No CRT here, no critical race theory, no racism from either direction, but simply that we're all children of the kingdom of God, and we deserve to be respected and honored in the image of God as He designed us, as He created us, and the importance of evangelism, that everyone under heaven needs to be reached with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I read in that passage where it says in Isaiah that fear not, for you will not be put to shame, neither feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. So he says, for your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. And so that's been an emphasis in our school. Both of my children graduated from our school while we've been here and are both exceptional citizens of the kingdom of Christ as they live for the Lord. My daughter and her husband starting apartment ministry churches in the worst apartments in Anderson, South Carolina, and then also preparing for eventually for world missions again. She had been a missionary in Pakistan for 2 years. And then my son, a regional sales representative for Sherwin-Williams Company, the leading representative in the state of Florida. He's won the last 2 years with the most sales in his region, and a dynamic witness for Christ. In fact, he just shared with me last week that he and his family have been prayer walking their neighborhood in a nice neighborhood there in Tampa. And they've got two unchurched families that live in the area with children that are now attending church with them at Idlewild Baptist Church in Tampa. And he said, what a joy it was to look down the pew and see these two families that had no church affiliation in the past. They're worshiping Christ, and their children also in nursery and in preschool and school there in the Sunday school on Sunday, and living for the Lord. And so both of those are product of our Christian school. And our school, unfortunately, because of our current facility, we're on 2.5 acres, and we're very restricted with the number of classes we can have, especially for the entry points of our school, the kindergarten, the first grade, and the sixth grade, ninth grade. And so through the years, we've been turning people away. We've had waiting lists and turning them away for years from our school. No gymnasium here at this point, not really room for it, and some other things. And so with these aspects, that and the ministry of our church, this vision has just come alive again, and we're working on procuring 40 acres to relocate, not only relocate our entire facility and our ministries, both ministries, but also to add to it an unwed mother's home, an assisted living, and some other exciting things, sports fields, full gymnasium, and some other things. As we approach closing on the property, one of the first things we're going to do is build a open pavilion there as a temporary worship site for, we're going to have some initial meet and greet services, and then we would seek to have a regular open air service there on the property, build a pavilion for seating of about 500 to 750. And so just some neat things going on with that as well, but we do need financial assistance with that. It's a long haul. It's a giant project. It's bigger than we are, much bigger than we are. And we're just trying to obey Christ in that and put his witness there on the 76 corridor where people can come to Christ and drive by and see the witness of the Lord. There's a giant Australian pine tree there on the property, and I've just pictured there being a giant cross there instead that would just beckon to the finished work of Christ and to heaven and to the redemption, the free gift of grace through Jesus. And I'd just like to encourage you. I don't know who I'm talking to. I never do with our radio broadcast. But I'm sure there's someone out there, someone listening, that would want to be a part of that vision and would want to help us and assist us in a very big way. We've got some tremendous, generous, wonderful members in the life of our fellowship. We've had several that have given six-figure gifts to our project already. Many have signed up for monthly gifts and other things. And I'd just like to make this appeal over our radio broadcast that if there's someone out there that would be willing to assist us and step forward to have a to help not only a church but a school, a patriotic school, a church that and a school that still we still praise God for the United States of America. We still have 4th of July musicals. Many of our churches have stopped that for fear of whatever reasons. A school that says our founding fathers, you know, love God and they sacrifice their fortunes, their fame, their sacred honor, everything to give us the freedoms we've enjoyed in this country for 200 years. And so I just want to make that appeal today and reach out and see what happens in relationship to that. We'd love to meet you. Love for you to come in to see us. And as I shared earlier, we've not pressed with fundraising or with our listening audience for the past 20 years. No faith gifts, no promises of prosperity, none of these things. But just simply been faithful. Our body, our fellowship's underwritten our broadcast all these years. And if our ministry of the Word of God has blessed you, and we would love to hear from you now. And so please consider a sacrificial gift to assist us. Our mailing address is First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. And again, love you. Praise God for the privilege to speak to you. My dear mother went to be with the Lord in June of 2013. And she used to say my whole Christian life after I got saved at 18, "Daryl, I can't wait to get to heaven to see who you've invited to heaven." And my dear mother's been there now for like 8 years, 9 years, approaching 9 years. And now she's known because of partaking of the divine nature with Christ. And it's a joy just over and over again, leading people to Christ, sharing Jesus on a daily basis throughout my Christian life. And one of the recent experiences, I've shared this in one of the messages, but I was at the dentist and I was sharing with the dental assistant, Lizette, and sweet girl, and sharing with her. And I heard a noise behind me of a second person in the dentist's cubicle. And I began to kind of wrestle with my thoughts about there being someone else in the cubicle while I was witnessing and sharing Jesus. And thinking, you know, what is their thoughts? Who is this? I heard them turning machines off and putting things away. And so, but I resisted that and I persisted on with the witness. And as I did, I came to the end as I share Christ and said, here's a prayer I prayed and I rehearsed it. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for dying on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to ask you to come into my life and take control of my life and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for me. I love you and I'll live for you the rest of my life. And so I asked Lizette, the dental assistant, does this prayer express the desire of your heart? Is this what you would like Jesus to do for you? And bless her heart, she said, absolutely. And then the other girl that was behind me kind of almost jogged over, briskly came over, sat in the dentist chair and slid right in front of me. And she said, I want to do it too. Can I give my life to Christ also? And so, I mean, I was able to hold both of these girls, their hands, and led them in a sinner's prayer. Both of them teared up. Both of them gave their life to Christ. And they said, this is such a joy. Thank you for sharing the love of Jesus with us. And that's just the excitement of it all. And we want to amplify that. We really would like to be stretching a trot line across 76 to win people to Christ out there on the main corridor coming into Martin County. My dad used to fish when I was growing up. He was an electrical contractor in Memphis, and he used to go to Sardis Lake and Arca Butler Lake in Mississippi, and he would trot line fish. He would stretch 100-pound cord with hooks and bait, and he'd stretch it out and then put milk jugs in between and then go back a couple times during the week when he came home from work and check those. And there's pictures of him holding catfish that were as large as my sister and I with the trot line. And it would be exciting. It would be glorious. It would be wonderful for us to be able to have such a device there on the 76 corridor on the river of 76 to catch men and women and boys and girls for Christ. And then a school to help disciple them to not just be professing Christians, but possessing Christians. Christians who really know the Lord Jesus and have a personal relationship with him. And we're seeing that happen with our school. We've extended it now to a high school. It's kind of operating as a one-room schoolhouse. We've got our entire high school in one room under a couple of teachers that are assisting the kids in some online and a lot of teaching in the class, a kind of a hybrid combination. But we've got 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade all in the one building, one assembly area. And we'd like to be able to go ahead and have two and three classes of every age. And just the excitement of people where they're coming into work, they could be coming from the north, from all the way from Fort Pierce or further north, coming down 95. Coming from the south, they could be coming from Palm Beach Gardens or West Palm, all the way from Jupiter to Cuesta. And they come into Martin County to work, and they could drop their children off at our school. There are some wetlands considerations on the property, and we want to be able to develop a environmental school along with the school where the kids could learn about the environmental issues, invasive species, native species, and help us, you know, to understand the maintaining of wetlands, and where we could have two pristine wetlands that, you know, are, you know, an honor to the county and an honor to God. And so with this, I just want to appeal to whoever's listening and tell you that we do love you, even though we haven't met you. And the ones of you that we do meet, we've always just had wonderful encounters. It's been very exciting. And but I'd just like to appeal to you. I know we live in one of the most affluent counties in the United States, in this area, from West Palm Beach all the way up. And there are some that could help us with our project in such a vital way. There's some that could do it like you and I, buying a vehicle, buying a car. And whoever they are, if they love God and love our country and love patriotism and love conservatism, capitalism, we stand for and teach all those things with our school. I'd like to encourage you to pray about putting us on your list and to assist us in this endeavor. And the Lord has just been continually buoying me up with this. We've been approaching different financial deadlines with it. My dear wife woke up one morning recently and, you know, feeling the weight of it at times. And she said to me, "Daryl, you know, we've gotten such a great deal on our home." She inherited half of it from her parents. We purchased the other half from her sister. And so there's now it's got equity in it. And she said, "Why don't we just take out a personal loan, a second mortgage against this house and its equity and provide that for the project? You know, we could probably do $200,000 or $300,000. And I said, "Honey, that's precious. I mean, I really appreciate that. But, you know, the way people are sometimes, they might be critical. They might say, "Oh, well, Pastor Orman bought this," and how people can be. And we don't want to give any excuse to the enemy. And then I also just shared with her, you know, we'll be taking out some loans and we would be far down the list, you know, with us, and we're not affluent people. And so with that, I mean, we've got the heart to do it. We just desperately need to make the need available, make it known. And so that's what I'm doing right now with our broadcast today. And again, I want to remind you, if you'd like to give to help us stay on the radio, or if you'd like to give to assist us with this project, it's First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34996. Or you could go on our website, fbcstuart.org, and there's a giving page there that you can navigate to that could also show you how to give online as well, www.fbcstuart.org. And again, I just want to praise the Lord for the opportunity to share with you through these years, and thank God for the way He sustained us. Years ago, my dad, as an electrical contractor, he grew up in Mississippi. His dad was a deacon at a church and helped build a church in Walnut, Mississippi. And my dad used to say, "Daryl, how can you stay in one place and preach every week, you know, preach 50 to 100 messages or whatever a week to the same people?" And I said, "Well, there's two things, Dad. Number one, it's South Florida, and the constituency of the body changes every 2 or 3 years. There's the coming and the going, and people are coming and going." And he said, "Well, that's true," because he came to stay with us for several years after my mother died. He said, "That's true. I've been asking where they're from, and no one's from here." And he, then he said to me, and I told him this, and I said, "Also, as I preach through the Word of God And I prepare the messages every week. I have the entire 30 years. I don't just preach canned messages. I prepare them every week. Even if it's a passage I've preached on in the past, I will restudy it, re-outline it, reorganize it as I share it. And it's the Word of God. It's limitless. It's more than an ocean of information and knowledge and understanding. And then my dad told me, he said, "Daryl, this is the most affluent county." Of course, we're from Memphis. He said, "I've been looking as you drive me around town, and I don't see any junky cars. Everything's nice everywhere you go." Of course, in Memphis, we see bumpers tied on with barbed wire. We see windows that are like cellophane or, you know, the hanging bags from dry cleaning or something with duct tape. And we've seen all sorts of things like that in Memphis and in North Mississippi. And but I said, "Yeah, it's definitely an affluent area. You know, this is an unusual area." And so he said, "Well, that makes a lot of sense, Daryl." And of course, he went to be with the Lord in 2017. And so now he's there with my mother, rejoicing and hopefully praying for us with the incense of their prayers going up before the altar. But we love y'all and thank God for you. And today I'm just doing this. This is the first time I've done this in the 20 years we've been on the radio, to do an entire broadcast relating to some of our needs. And we'd be glad to send you messages if you want to request messages and all that. But I know I receive a lot of appeals myself, and they're sending me stickers, they're sending me calendars, even some of them send me little bitty checks, you know. And I've had appeals sent to me that have half a dollar's glued to them, and some of them even a dollar bill in them. And I appreciate all those efforts, but I think all of us we're grown people and recognize that if there's something worthy of giving to, then something worthy of investing in before the kingdom of Christ, then we should do it. I had a teacher when I was working on I've got an associate's degree in business from Northwest Mississippi Junior College, where I played basketball. And Mrs. Hamlin, Bobby Hamlin, was my business communications teacher. And on the weekends, I was preaching in small Baptist churches throughout Mississippi as a kind of a celebrity, because I was a basketball college athlete. And I would share my testimony and preach in these churches. And so Mrs. Hamlin, when I would come back to class on the Mondays, and she would say in business communications, she was a godly Christian, she'd say, "Daryl, why don't you tell the class, didn't you preach in a church or a couple of churches this weekend?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I did." "How did you know that you communicated? We're in business communication class. How did you know that you were communicating properly?" And I said, "Well, at the end, I gave an invitation for people to respond to Christ and give their heart and life to Jesus Christ." And whatever the number was, 3 did, 2 did, 7 did, whatever, I would share that. And I said, "So I knew I was communicating because people responded and they got saved. They gave their life to Jesus." And so her, as a Christian sister, was setting me up to witness to those classes about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I was going on one of my first mission trips to Mexico, and I needed to raise funds for it. So I was talking to Miss Hamlin about it, and I said, "I don't want to ask anybody for money. You know, I do electric work with my dad. You know, I'll just pay my own way." And she said, "Daryl, if you ask people to give to the kingdom of Christ, a mission trip, a building, a property, a radio broadcast, whatever, for a ministry for the kingdom of Christ, you're doing them a favor, because when they stand before Christ, they're going to be grateful to God that they did what they did. And you just want to be aware of that, and you should do that." She said, "I attend Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, Adrian Rogers Church, And we are in a class, a couple Sunday school class of 200. Why don't you come and make an appeal to that class? And I said, oh, I don't know, Miss Hamlin. And she said, no, really, please. And I said, all right. So I showed up at Bellevue that Sunday. Before the class started, Mrs. Hamlin introduced me. This is Daryl Orman. He's an athlete and one of the students from our college. He's going on a mission trip, and he needs funds to go. And so I shared with him what we would be doing, building a church, sharing the gospel, having some small street crusades. And I began to share all that with him. And then after that, she said, now we're going to receive an offering for Daryl. And so she and her husband went around the class, and they collected not only enough for me to go, but for enough for me to be able to scholarship one of my friends to go on the mission. So they underwrote two temporary missionaries from that. And I learned a lot from that. And of course, I was discipled at Liberty University by Jerry Falwell, and he raised tens, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars to build the largest Christian university in the history of Christianity in 2,000 years at Liberty University. And he used to tease and say, someday I'm going to die, and they're going to write on my tombstone, and the beggar died. And from that, I mean, I just want to make this appeal to y'all. I know you can't help if you don't know the need. And I would love to see what happens. And I promise that I will share with you the results of what happens from this. But again, you could mail your gift to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you could go on our website, www.fbcstuart.com. .org, FBC as in First Baptist Church. And look on there and click on our giving site, and it will direct you in how to do that. And I'm excited about what God's going to do with this. I'm excited about how he's going to use y'all. I would love to be honest with you as we always are, to just say, please invest in us. We've invested in y'all for 20 years, our listening audience throughout this area. And I'm told this broadcast goes as far as the other side of Lake Okeechobee. It could be Belle Glade. It could be Clewiston. And occasionally even almost to the West Coast. As far north as Vero Beach. Possibly even occasionally New Smyrna Beach. And I'd just like to encourage you as our listening audience to respond and to demonstrate to us. My wife and I are celebrating our 30th anniversary here at the life of this church, and we would love to hear from you. And I just want to tell you again, God bless you, and I hope and pray that all of you have given your heart and life to Jesus Christ.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, this is Mark Hennebach, and here's an additional message from Pastor Daryl Orman.
This morning, I'd like to speak to you about seven resolutions for this year. And of course, resolutions are interesting things. We talk about them every year. I was talking to a trainer at one of the gyms, and a lot of people, I'm going to lose weight this year, One year, I'd like to say I'm gaining weight this year. I'm gonna try to gain 10 pounds. And set that up. I probably hit that one pretty easy.
But on the trainers, they say that in the industry, they know that 60% of everybody that gets a gym membership, you know, for this next year, after the first 6 weeks of the year, will not come back to the gym again the rest of the year. So I'm opening a gym. That sounds good. Due paying, no show up, you know. But I'd like to for us to look at, if you got your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. And I want to read a rendition of it. We're going to, as you know, I speak from the New American Standard Bible. But I want to read to you, this is from The Message. And it's kind of personalized for these verses. It says, "You're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow His directions, doing your best to find Him." That's right. You don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road He set. You, God, prescribed the right way to live. Now you expect us to live in it. "Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping to the course you set. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learned the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me. Don't ever walk off and leave me." So that's The Message's version of this passage. Now, if you've got your Bible in Psalm 118, I want to read it to you from New American Standard. "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do not know unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. Thou hast ordained Thy precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep Thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all Thy commandments. I shall give thanks to Thee with uprightness of heart when I learn Thy righteous judgments. I shall keep Thy statutes. Do not forsake me utterly." And I'd like for us to look at seven resolutions. First of all, the first one is for us to wake up, to begin each day with the Lord and His in His joy and in His grace, recognizing Him. In Psalm 118, verse 24, if you'll look at that with me, Psalm 18, verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." I think we're all guilty of living for the future. We worry about the future, what's going to come this week, this month, this year. My health issues, finances, whatever the case might be. And we're worrying down the road. And they say 90% of the things we worry about never come to fruition. They never happen. And so if you want one good aspect, if you want to start your aim for next year, start it on a daily basis. Live one day at a time, like live today. And live for the maximum today, and thank the Lord for today. If you're healthy today, if you've got food to eat and a place to go sleep tonight, and you've got these other things, you've got family members, you've got friends, then thank the Lord in the here and now for the right now for what you have, and rejoice in that. And when you wake up tomorrow, do the same thing. Lord, I just want to thank you for today. I'm going to live today. I'm going to live the fullness of it. I'm going to try to obey you, and I'm going to live in today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Secondly, number two, not only wake up, but beam up. Beam up. The second is put on a smile. Put a beam on your face. Put your high beams on. And smile. It improves your looks, first of all. Everyone looks better. If you think you're ugly and you smile, you're going to look a little better. It's going to help a little bit. And smiles are attractive. It's funny, when I've walked the bridges and stuff, I pray for the people as they pass when I on the direction I walk where I can see in their windshields. I pray for them, and I'll smile. And it's funny how many, I would say the vast majority, way, way over 50%, 60%, 75% of them actually look at me. When I'm looking at them and I'm smiling and I don't know their names, Lord, pray for the, you know, be with the fat guy, be with the skinny woman, you know, be with that couple in the car, that family of four, whatever it is. But smiling makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. And so, you know, we're to beam up. And in Proverbs 17, if you've got your Bible, Proverbs 17, verse 22, it says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." So there's health issues involved. Now, I had the opportunity this past week on Friday. I went down to the Keys and fished with one of our men, and we went out on a party boat out of Bud and Mary's in 8 to 10 foot swells. Have any of you ever seen the movie Perfect Storm? I mean, these were literally hills, little hills rolling in. And the boat would go up and the boat would go down. And there was a couple times these bigger waves came and the boat tilted up. And this was like a 40, 45 foot, 50 foot boat. And it tilted up like this. I mean, I had to really concentrate to stay on the boat. I will tell you one story. There was sometimes when they had to turn contrary to those big rollers, and so it had us kind of almost sideways at it. I was on the side of the boat fishing, and there was 33 people that were supposed to be fishing on the boat. And this wave hit us, and this girl was walking by, and I pancaked her. I just came behind her and pinned her against the rail, and she started laughing. Her boyfriend started laughing, and I said, "Nice to meet you." And, you know, it was throwing us all over. There's a couple times I've got a high center of gravity. I thought I was going to go over the rail. Well, one of our men that went with me, he fished for just a few minutes. And then for the next 4 or 5 hours, he heaved his guts out. I mean, he had nothing left. And he wasn't the only one. One third of the people on the boat. So they pulled in the chum bags. We didn't need chum anymore. And we were catching lots of fish. So far for years now, knock on wood, I don't get sick. I try to avoid that. But here he talks about broken spirit dries the bones. There were the third of the people on the boat with dry bones. Now, I want to tell you how, if you ever go on one of these boats, how to get sick, okay? Here's how to get sick. Eat a giant breakfast. Drink a lot of coffee or caffeine, iced tea, a lot of Cokes. Drink a lot of caffeine. Get a lot of caffeine on top of that big breakfast. When you get on the boat, stand next to people who are chain smoking cigarettes and breathe in that smoke. And then when you start getting a little peevish, a little green, go inside the cabin where it's hot and sweltery and lay down. I don't care who you are, you're going to toss your cookies. But here he talks about the idea that a broken spirit dries our bones, but a merry heart is like good medicine. Good medicine. And this is important for us. I mean, people who laugh and have a joyous life together, have a more healthy life. They have a more abundant life. Kim and I were voting a few years ago on one of the elections, and we went into the polling place when it used to be over here at the lodge for us. And there was a bunch of senior ladies behind the table, and I cracked a joke to Kim, and she started laughing. And one of the old ladies says, "Oh, isn't that cute? They still laugh at each other." Apparently, she and her husband did not, you know. And but the idea of having a joy in your life that you beam up. Thirdly, the third is we need to hush up. Watch your tongue. Don't gossip, but say nice things. You know, have wonderful things come out of your mouth. Ephesians chapter 4, if you've got your Bible, verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear it. Our words, we need to think about our words. Are you negative or are you positive? Is the glass half full or half empty? You know, are you optimistic? Two twin boys were put in a room as a test. They put them in a room filled with put the one boy that was kind of negative by nature, they put him in a room with some toys. And he was in there, they watched him through the one-way glass, and they watched him for a while, and he tinkered around with some of the toys and kicked a couple of them and walked around and just sat down and put his head in his hands and was bored. And when they interviewed him, he said, "These were the stupidest toys I've ever seen. I couldn't stand these toys. I don't like these kind of toys. I don't know why you put me in this room with these toys." And he went on and on. Well, his optimistic twin brother, they put him in a room full of horse manure. And he went in there, and he was only in there a few minutes, and all of a sudden he started flinging horse manure everywhere, on the walls, in the corners, just going crazy. And so finally they went in, they said, "Son, what on earth are you doing?" He said, "I figured with all this horse manure in here, there had to be a pony under here somewhere." You know, are you optimistic or, you know, are you negative? Is it good or is it bad? You know, is life good or is life bad? You know, and he talks about with our words encouraging people, being optimistic with our words and building others up. We had an opportunity to eat Friday night at a mom and pop restaurant, and there was a waitress there that was a kind of a young senior, maybe not so young, but a senior. And when she walked out from behind the cash register, we went outside and actually were waiting for a table. And it wasn't that great of a restaurant. It was good, but they only had three tables. So there was. So I said, "You could probably increase your business if you added at least two more tables, you know, five tables." But so we waited for a while for a table. And when she walked out from behind the cash register, she walked like this. I mean, just really throwing one leg. And so she brought us some, we were sitting outside in a couple of chairs in a sandy area waiting for a table. And she brought us a couple of soft drinks. And I said, "So, is it your hip? I've had hip problems. I've had this one replaced." And she says, Oh, no. "No, I've got three discs that are just terrible. They're constant pain." And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor. Can I pray for you?" "Oh, please do." And she comes over and gives me both hands. And so I hold her hands. And, "Lord, please touch this dear lady and touch her back and take the discomfort from her and heal her. If you would, just heal her quickly, immediately. Just touch her, Lord." And so I prayed for her. And then she kind of looked at us, and I said, "Now, if God heals you while we're here, I want you to tell me." She said, "You'll be the first to know." And so then she goes in, and then she comes, swings around a little later and says, "There is a table." And so we got it and sat at a table and some chairs. And so she brings our food out, and I said, "Well, are you feeling better?" And she said, "Actually, I am." And then she did a couple of pirouettes. She spun around. And she said, "I do feel better." And so when we left, she said, "God bless you. Thank you for coming. No charge for the soft drinks. So if you pray for people, you can get free beverages." But it doesn't cost anything to encourage people and to give wholesome words, encouraging, and take the eye off of ourselves and put it on others. You know, let the focus be on other people. And we see here, there's beam me up. Then there's hush up, you know, hush your tongue from the negative things and turn them to positive, edifying, encouraging things in people's lives. Number four, stand up. Take a stand for what you believe. Resist evil. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We see this unity of spirit, this unity of intentionality and purpose, striving together for the faith of the gospel. People that love the gospel and love the gospel together can walk together hand in hand. People that love the Lord Jesus and want everyone to know him can walk together hand in hand. One of the men on the boat that was fishing was from London, England, a real stalwart, you know, muscular-looking young man, jet black hair and a beard. He kind of looked like the guy that played Superman in the most recent Superman movies. And he was sitting there. He had his girlfriend from London with him. They were fishing. And they were excellent at fishing. He was catching 2-to-1 yellowtails over me to the point where he didn't even want to keep them. And so he gave me 2 or 3 of his yellowtail snappers. And but after we're done and we're riding back, I'm sitting next to him and I begin to witness to him. And he says, "I'm an atheist." And I said, "Well, God bless you," you know. And he was real proud of his atheism, you know. And so I said, "Well," and then his girlfriend and his girlfriend's girlfriend got dead quiet listening to us. And so I said, "Well, you know, an atheist says there is no God. I mean, anywhere. There's not a God." And he said, "That's right. There is no God." And I said, "Well, with all due respect, have you been everywhere? Have you been on other planets? Have you been to the other part of the universe?" I said, "It's kind of like dinosaurs. They say there are no dinosaurs, but how do we know that they're not hiding somewhere? They're in the deep ocean, or they're in a cave somewhere, or some remote island. And when we look over..."
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.